Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Make Onions Cry. I'm your host, Kat.
I'm your host, Angie.
And today, we are doing an episode on one of my favorite topics, and probably one of the most important relationships humans can have, pets.
I'm very excited for today's topic. However,
before we start, though, Angie does have a very important announcement to make.
Very important announcement. Today is April 13th, and guess what? It is my dog, my son, my whole life, his birthday. Pepper, the Labradoodle, he turns 5 today, so everyone wish him a happy birthday or get out.
Woo! Happy birthday, Pepper. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, baby.
That's actually a really good start into what I want to talk about. And then after we define this, we can get into the question of the day. But what does a pet mean to you, Angie? Because you talked about Pepper as your son. Elaborate on that a bit.
I am a mother. I am now a mother of 3. I have Pepper and I have my 2 guinea pigs who are my daughters. And I feel like having a pet is family no matter what. It's just another part of your family. You have to take care of it. You have to feed it, make sure it's healthy, bring it to the doctor if it needs. But yeah, I feel like pets are family.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with that. For me personally, any pet I have, I get very much invested in. I treat them as an extension of me. You know, these are my creatures. They represent me in some way. I'm raising them however I might be raising them. And I also do understand that there are other types of pets that aren't necessarily viewed that way. And we'll get talking about that a little bit later, but there's different types of animals. People have pets as working animals as well. So that's a big factor. And not everyone is as attached to their pets as me and Angie are. Some people don't view them as, you know, living creatures and part of the family. There's a lot of cases to discuss about that, which we'll also touch about later. Right. But before getting into it, I have a story, which I'm going to... No, we're starting with the question of the day, and then I have a story, because that... I need to get that off my chest. So much pent-up emotion.
There's so much happening.
A lot has happened to me over the last week involving pets, so I have much to discuss. But before we do that, question of the day, Angie. One hot, sunny afternoon, you are crossing the parking lot of a large shopping center and see a dog locked in a car, suffering from the heat.
Oh, my God.
Would you do anything about it?
Yes.
So what? What would you do?
I would, first of all, cry.
Good reaction. Panic.
Immediately cry. If the car was locked, I would try to unlock the car. Like, I would try to open the door. If not, I would stand by the car, call the police, and go to the employees inside. Like, call the residents. I wouldn't leave the car. I would just call whatever store I'm around. Their phone number and be like, hi, I'm in the parking lot and this is happening. And I would call the police too, because they do come and open the door. But I would stay there.
Yeah. So I would break the window. I'll be the asshole. I don't care. If someone leaves their dog in the car and it's hot outside, and like the heat I'm used to is New York City heat, where it's like 100 degrees, super humid, like you can't breathe inside of a car. If a dog is in that, there's no AC. I mean, first thing I would do is definitely check if the AC is turned on, because maybe it's like a silent engine. But if I see that the car is completely turned off, all the windows are shut, and the dog is inside the car, I'm going to break the window. I'll call the cops, but I'm also breaking the window.
Yeah.
And it's like, at that point, you deserve to have your window broken if you're leaving a dog in a car.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now that you mentioned that, I didn't even think of that. But in the moment, 1, crying, 2, cops, 3, if it took them, like, if it took them more than like 10 minutes, windows are being broken. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Same thing with
babies. I don't mess around. Yeah. Same thing with babies. And it's like, if I see, you know, a living creature, I mean, there's different creatures. Like, if I saw a goldfish in a car, I probably wouldn't be that drastic. But if, like, Are you kidding me?
You?
Are you kidding me? I am not breaking someone's
feelings too.
Listen, I.
What if the water in their bag is boiling?
Okay. Bubbling. Controversial opinion. Very controversial opinion that I'm about to say. I value different creatures' lives differently. So I think the value of a dog is higher than the value of like a goldfish.
Oh, you're going to get canceled for this.
All right. If I get canceled for it, I get canceled. But it's, I mean, there's also certain things where it's like, you know, like Harambe, for example, you know, when the kid fell into his enclosure, the human life was worth more than the gorilla. And like there, I know there was outrage and all of that, but at the end of the day, no one's letting the kid die. You're going to kill the gorilla.
That's because that. No, you know what? I'm not getting into it.
All right. If I get canceled for that, I get canceled for it. I stand by my opinion, though.
We'll talk about this after, because there are many layers.
There are many layers. But I do stand by what I said. If I get canceled for it, I get canceled. Whatever. I, however, have a story. And I.
Yes.
So I, as many of you might know, recently moved to Jersey. And when doing so, I left behind my pet cat with my parents. So I was without Keisha. A pet. I love Keisha. But I was without a pet. And I decided I am not going to get another cat or another dog because I don't have that much space. I want to wait until I move into a bigger place, until I have a house, until I'm more settled, because I don't know if I'm staying in this area. So I don't want to get a pet like that. I want to get a very low maintenance pet that sits in a tank and looks cute and I can look at it occasionally. What did I decide on? A hermit crab. Originally, I was going to get a frog. Probably should have gotten a frog after the stress that these hermit crabs
are more high maintenance.
They are more high maintenance, but the stress I experienced this week, not worth it. Yeah. Whatever. I get hermit crabs. And hermit crabs are very pack animals. They don't like to be alone. They should be with another hermit crab. So I got four. And I had a big enough tank for it. You know, they have plenty of space in this fucking tank. So I get four. And I bring them home. And all is dandy. I set them up. And I wake up the next morning. I walk into my office to check on my new pets. Because I still had one left to name. I was, you know, thinking of names for them. And I walk in and I see one of the shells that was occupied yesterday is empty. And I was like, oh, wow, no way. One of my crabs changed shells already. But then I look at all the other shells that I left for them to, you know, potentially occupy. And they were also empty. And I'm like, what the fuck? Where's the crab? And I look in the corner. Two of my crabs that are in their shells are surrounding the corner. And I look in and I just see a crab without a shell. And I'm like,
crab.
What the fuck? First of all, for those of you that don't know, crabs, hermit crabs, should not be outside of their shells.
Nope.
If they are, like, I did very extensive research into this because I was like, why is my crab out of its shell? And it's like, it means that they're either stressed or there's something going on or they want to die. They're molting. But if they're molting, they should be on the ground, like whatever. There's a lot of factors into this. Point being, the crab should not be outside of its shell. And this crab was. And I started full on panicking. I was like, what is happening?
She called me.
I did. I called her and I was like, look at this. Why is this crab outside? What is like this? I was panicking, full on panicking. But then I decided to move the other crabs away because I was like, if it's molting, I read that hermit crabs might eat each other. So it's like, I don't want that to be the case. So I separated the crab. Her name is Tiffany, by the way. This is the crab. This is the naked crab, Tiffany. I separated Tiffany and was just like, put all the shells around her. I'm like, have your pick. You have all these different sizes. Choose whatever. I like put a little barrier so the other crabs couldn't get in with her. And I left her alone for a while. I sprayed her down so she wouldn't dry out because she doesn't have a shell and is very exposed. And I came back a few hours later and this crab was still fucking naked. At this point, I'm like, bro, what the fuck is happening? And I thought the crab died. I was like, she wasn't moving. There was no motion. So I was like,
I thought.
No. And then like, I started poking her and like, she wasn't moving. I was like, all right, I guess she's dead. And I was freaking out at this point. I was like, this is my first day as a hermit crab parent. One of my crabs already died. This and that. Freaking out. And I decided to move her. I was like moving her with a shell just to like scoop her out. And then she started moving. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? So the crab was alive. And I was sending this entire saga to all of my Snapchat streaks. Like they were there for it. And basically, I was like, this fucking crab is alive. Let's wait another day. So another day passes. I also sprayed her down, once again, made her comfortable, put her inside, you know, like a very earthy area. So she was, there was a lot of humidity. All of the natural environments that a hermit crab should have, they existed for her. And I left her for another day. So it's been 2 days at this point. And then I walk in. And she's still sitting there in the same position, hasn't moved since the day before. And I was like, all right, she definitely had to have died. Like, there's no shot that she spent the last, like, 15 hours just sitting in the same position, untouched. But no, because I go to move her, and once again, she starts moving. I was like, fuck this, bro. Like, is this crab gonna, like, the anxiety I was feeling. I was like, is this crab gonna die? Is it not gonna die? What can I do to help? There wasn't anything to do. And then this morning, we moved her. No, not this morning. Last night, we moved her into a separate container. Like, we filled another one, and we filled it with sand. Maybe it was the substrate, so we gave her a different substrate. And then put her separately on her own. Gave her a bunch of shells as well, put her inside a very dark area because hermit crabs are nocturnal. So I was like, all right, here's this dark room, you know, like lights are all off, whatever, thrive, please pick a shell so you survive. And then this morning I woke up, she was still unmoving, still facing me. But then after work, I came back and she was like flopped over and she finally died. And I was like, it was 4 days because I got her what? On Saturday, and today's what, Wednesday? So yeah, it was 4 days of just constant back and forth of this crab just stressing me out. And it was such an emotional roller coaster. And I know I just spent like 10 minutes talking about this damn crab, but I need, the story needed to be said. The story needed to be said.
R.I.P. Tiffany.
Yeah, R.I.P. Tiffany. Definitely not the best way to start off my hermit crab parenthood. My other crabs are doing good though. I have Chad, Brittany, and Lexi. Nice. But Tiffany, unfortunately, RIP. Yeah. We did all we could not save her though.
Yeah, I mean, you just saw one of my guinea pigs scratch my whole chest. So
yes, right before this, Angie was like, oh, should I hold my guinea pig for the episode? I was like, no, you shouldn't. And as she went to put her back, the guinea pig just decided to kamikaze and become a suicidal guinea pig, just trying to jump off.
She didn't jump.
Jump, no. She was like trying to yeet herself off of Angie.
She saw her sister in the cage and she was like, get me back home. And I was like, I'm trying.
But yeah, you know, that's the thing with pethood and, you know,
Planned Parenthood? That's another episode.
Not Planned Parenthood, though. Parent pethood. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
There's too many hoods. It's, you know, pets are unexpected. You never know what's happening. And with me, I experienced something where I didn't know what my pet was trying to tell me. You know, I didn't know what the issue was. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know how to fix it. And unfortunately, and resulted, RIP my crab. But it's like, that's one of those things where as you have a pet, and certain pets, it's a lot easier to learn than others, just seeing how they're feeling, what they want.
Mm-hmm. Like my guinea pigs, I know when they want food, mm-hmm. or if they're just playing, and or if they're just, you know, looking for a nap and they're annoyed with me. I know their little moods.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's kind of get into it. Let's go more deep into it. Let's start with probably two of the most popular pets in existence, cats and dogs. So Angie, I'll let you talk about dogs because my experience is a bit more limited than yours. And you currently have a dog and today's his birthday. So I feel like it's appropriate.
Yes, I do have a dog, and I grew up with a different dog, Pippin. I had Pippin, who is a standard poodle, and now I have Pepper, who is a labradoodle, so very similar.
Sounds like a type.
Yeah, I do have a type. But Pippin, I mean, it's so crazy how different pets have such different personalities, mm-hmm. because my first dog, the standard poodle, he was very standoffish, no cuddles, no licks. He walked himself. He would sit at the front door and you would just open the door. He'd go outside, pee, poop. Didn't matter if another dog was walking by. Didn't matter if another person was walking by. He did his thing and he ran back in. That was it. We just opened the door, in and out. Like, yeah. Pepper. on the other hand.
Nutcase. Pepper's an absolute nutcase.
He's a psychopath. And I love him. Again, he's my son. But he, wow, he needs attention. I mean, he's kind of like his mother, you know? Like, he needs that attention. But he, God forbid another dog comes by, he is gone like the wind. If he didn't have a leash on. Thank God we have leashes. And he also pulls when he walks. And he is just, he, a mess. He runs into doors. He runs into walls.
He's also very territorial.
Yes.
Like every time I come over and I give you a hug or I give your parents a hug, he freaks out.
He is a jealous dog. But yeah. Pippin was too. Pippin hated affection for himself. But if I hugged my mom, he was like, get the fuck away from each other. But also Pepper is like, it's more of like a, why aren't you petting me instead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he's a very friendly dog.
He hugs you.
Yeah, he Pepper. Does. He absolutely does.
He hugs you.
He's very friendly, very social. He's just not very keen on others being friendly.
He doesn't like sharing.
Yeah,
he doesn't
that's
like
the word.
Sharing.
Yeah.
Which I understand because I'm the same way. So
they're valid. But talk a little bit about, you know, dog ownership. My experience with dogs is very limited. I always had them, and I always had outdoor dogs because they were always in Poland and I was the one taking care of them. So I don't actually know the full extent of what it takes to take care of a dog. Give me a bit of a rundown.
I always compare to having a dog is like having a baby. Because, I mean, I've never had a baby, so let's just get that out of the way. But they're very needy. And when he was a baby, Pepper, my first dog, I was very young. So, like, I didn't do any of the helping, walking, cleaning, feeding, any of that. It was my parents. Mm-hmm. Pepper was my dog. So they were like, he sleeps in your room. You take him out. You feed him. You like everything. And I agreed to that because I wanted him. And he would wake me up 2 to 3 times a night, just whining. And sometimes, not all the time, sometimes peeing like in my room. But that was like rare. I don't know. He like knew to not do that. I don't know. But very much like a child where you have to get up in the middle of the night. You have to make sure he has water in the middle of the night. You have to make sure like you constantly have some kind of food for him. You have to take. I had to walk down the stairs, pick him up, walk him down the stairs because he couldn't walk down the stairs. And I just, it was constant attention and focus on him. That entire summer was focused on him. And you have to make sure, like, the bigger the dog, the more energy they get, like, they let out. So he's a Labradoodle. He's 70 pounds. He needs to walk a lot. He needs to run a lot. He needs to play a lot. He is very needy, and we live in New York where we don't have a lot of space, so my dad takes him out for long walks and we play with him all throughout the day, and it's constant. It never ends. It's a constant need to be with them, to care for them.
I mean, my godmother, she has a husky, and when the husky was girl, like, huskies need a lot of exercise.
They are like triple Pepper.
They are. They're huge, and they're just very energetic. And what her son would do is every day he would take the husky, put him on the leash, and then put it on his bike, and he would have the husky pull him on the bike for like 30 kilometers and just run for you know, like an hour one direction and run back home.
Yeah.
And the husky did all the work for it.
Yeah. I mean, huskies as well, you have to take into account where you live because they love the cold. If it's hot or even warm, like the spring, they're not happy. And they just have to be in the cool air because they're wolves. They are wolves.
I mean, that's a very important part of pet parenthood is you have to take the needs of the pet into consideration. Yeah, just because you want a certain type of thing doesn't mean that you should have it or should do it. You know, like a husky needs certain requirements. Like even a German Shepherd, a massive dog, needs a lot of space because they also mm-hmm. need a lot of energy. That's not a dog that should be kept in a very small apartment. That's a dog that should have access to a big field.
Yeah, I mean, Pepper even, he needs a lot of activity. Mm-hmm. Not as much as a German Shepherd, but he does need to be, you know, cared for, walked 2 to 3 times a day for a good amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he needs the exercise.
Yeah. And it's one thing, you know, dogs are definitely big pets, but with one thing, it's like even smaller pets, like my hermit crabs, they require a certain temperature. They require a certain type of humidity. They require a certain tank to be comfortable in, you know, the tank size. They can't put them in a very small one, especially if there's multiple.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's also part of the maintenance. You know, you as a pet owner, it is your responsibility to give your pet the best possible environment they can be in.
Right. And I know you grew up having a cat, and mm-hmm. I've always wanted a cat, but never had one. So, I mean, you could talk more about that.
Yeah. I mean, here's the story of how I got my cat. My building in Brooklyn did not allow cats or dogs. They were just in the lease. We were not allowed to have them, but I really wanted a pet. And I told my mom and my dad, and I was trying to figure out every type of way to get either a cat or a dog. They were saying no. And so dog was definitely out of the picture because you can't really hide a dog. You have to walk it every day. It barks. It's loud. Like, someone was going to rat me out. A cat, however, is a very stealthy pet to have.
Yes,
so what I did was I convinced my brother on board with my genius plan of getting a cat off of Craigslist. And I literally was looking at Craigslist ads for cats. And I saw this dude posted, a random dude in Staten Island. He posted 2 kittens, black and white kittens. And I was like, ooh, pretty. Let's do that. And I convinced my brother. We drove out to Staten Island. We got one of the cats. And it's like, I wish I could have gotten both, but I know my mom would have killed me if I did. And we got one of the cats, brought her home. And it's like, at that point, what's my mom going to do? She's not going to throw the cat out because it's a cat. So she was like, all right, guess we're keeping the cat. And it was very easy to maintain because cats are very self-sufficient. They yes. clean themselves. You don't have to bathe them. You don't have to walk them. You just give them an area to have a litter box in, and that's where they pee, poop, whatever. You just have to clean it daily and feed them twice a day, you know, 2 to 3 times a day, depending on the cat and how much you feed them. But cats are very low maintenance, especially compared to dogs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, with Pepper, he's a Labradoodle, so he doesn't shed. So we have to bathe him and get him cut, like haircut. Mm-hmm. And if his hair is too long, TMI, but his poop gets stuck to his butt. it's like butt hairs, and we have to like cut it out or like bathe it. It's disgusting. It mm-hmm. is. Because then he smells, and then he's unhappy, and then everyone else is unhappy. And it's like, just clean yourself.
Yeah. So I actually very something similar with my cat. My cat's name is Keisha, by the way, for everyone listening. Don't ask me how I came up with the name. I panicked. I was at the vet. So it's kind of, sort of, it's like not the direct translation of cat, but if you tell someone that you have a pet named Keisha and they're Polish, they're going to know it's a cat. It's like a nickname for a cat, pretty much.
I love that.
No, I was at the vet and I thought Keisha was a boy whose name was Spikey at the time because I was original as a 10-year-old.
Of course.
And turns out she was a girl. And I panicked. I was like, oh, I need a girl's name. Keisha, go with that. It was the first name that came to my mind. Whatever. Point. That's aside. Keisha has very long fur. And she also sometimes, if she poops, it could get stuck to her. However, because she is a cat, she can clean herself. And
yeah.
I don't have
needy.
To deal with it. Yeah. But no, I feel like with those types of animals, cats, they definitely also require brushing. Maybe not as much as dogs because they are much smaller. But with longer hair cats, especially like Persians or, you know, those fancy exotic cats, they need a lot of grooming. They can't just be left on. They're going to get matted, tangled, whatever the case might be. And I mean, even
dogs
Keisha,
she's. Same.
Yeah, dogs are the same. And it's like they.
I have
you
to brush
need,
Pepper.
You need to groom them. You have to maintain that. And it's important for your pet's well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to constantly brush Pepper because he has like the curly hair too. So mm-hmm. all the curls get knotted together, which turns into matting, and he hates being brushed. And I'm like, don't give me an attitude. Yeah. This is just your life.
But speaking of dogs, you know, cats aside, but back to dogs. Dogs are also used a lot of the times as pets for work. Yes. So they could be used as service dogs. They could be used as herding dogs, just, you know, herding animals. So you often see a dog at an airport, you know, a bomb dog. People also use them as therapy animals often. They're probably the most common therapy animal. They're definitely the most common service animal there is. Right. But it's one of those things where those people don't necessarily look at their dogs as pets. They look at them as a service type of thing. Mm-hmm. There's definitely still a connection. I mean, oftentimes the bomb dogs, the people that, you know, maintain them and the people on the bomb squad have a very close relationship with them. But it's still, there is a boundary between having this as your pet and this is a work animal.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at police dogs, like on TikTok, you see all the time, like a police dog like got injured during mm-hmm. whatever, and the whole police force is outside the vet as the dog comes out of surgery and is like,
yeah,
it's just part of them. It's part of their workforce and yeah, also like part of their family of work.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's one of those, I recently found this out actually with service dogs, because they can't be service dogs forever. They retire, you know, usually the lifespan of a service dog is like 7 years or something. Yeah. And then after that, they have to retire, and they very often don't retire with their owner because they can't, mm-hmm. you know, they won't be able to differentiate between the rest time versus work time for them. Like, this has always been a job. Right. And, you know, a lot of the time the original owner will either give them to a family member or someone close to them so they can still visit, but you have to separate from that animal.
Yeah. Because they need to get away from that work because it's stressful on them
mm-hmm.
for too long.
It is. And I mean, there's also other animals that are used as work animals, or even, you know, not necessarily work animals, but like horses, for example. People that are horses on a farm, they're not necessarily pets that you go and play with, but they're more so there for a duty. You know, they help mm-hmm. farmers, you know, with the crops and moving equipment and stuff like that. Especially yeah. back in the day, horses were huge for economies and flourishment and whatnot.
Yeah, and also nowadays, horseback riding is a sport. Mm-hmm. So it's a sport. People use it to train and practice. It's more of that than a pet.
Mm-hmm. That actually makes a good point, because I wanted to talk about this as well. Pets as wealth. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain pets that you show off as a symbol of wealth. You can't have a certain type of animal unless you're uber wealthy. Like, even one of those horses you mentioned, horseback riding, like, that's a very expensive sport. It's a very expensive activity. And those purebred horses are like $1-4 million a horse mm-hmm. because yeah. they're raised from generations of like competitive horses.
One of my roommates in college, she had a horse farm and that's literally crazy. Bred racehorses and would sell them. Like, her family yeah. just did that.
And that's a thing. And it's like the people that are buying those are very rich people. You can't afford yeah. to buy certain animals like that. But, yeah. you know, even horses aside, I used to play Minecraft with this dude that lived in the UAE. And we always used to like joke around that he was a prince because he had a very extravagant life. And he would send us pictures of him like next to his pet tiger. Oh, and it's one of those God. Things
but
where
that's
it's like
not a pet.
I mean, it was for him. Like, no, he had it. It is. It's a different subject, but that's the point of, you know, he's wealthy. No, I know. He could afford to have a tiger as a pet. It was one of those things where it was him showing off his status.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. But also, you can think on, like, the lower scale. There are the dog shows every year
mm-hmm.
of people just prancing around their poodles and their corgis and whatever, and they just get these fancy haircuts and have them walk around, and those are rich people prancing yeah. around their dogs.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where purebred dogs aren't cheap. No. I mean, you have pepper. You know how much pepper costs. And it's like, I was looking at prices. I was curious about this. I was looking at prices of dogs. And, you know, like a German Shepherd costs like $1,500. And for a lot of people, that might not be a lot. But for a lot of people, that's their entire paycheck for a month. You know, like, why would you be spending that for a dog?
Yeah, I mean, purebreds are just super expensive. I don't know why or how that came to be, but they've been and they always will be.
That kind of has to do with the whole status thing. You know, if you have, you know, a German Shepherd or a Husky, then, you know, acquiring those dogs isn't easy.
Yeah. Whereas if you have a pit bull, they're like, oh,
everyone,
you saved the pit bull.
Every city in the U.S., every shelter.
Pit bulls, though.
Yeah, so pit bulls. Underrated. Yeah, pit bulls are very underrated. I would definitely give them more love.
They're so affectionate.
Yeah, I mean, my only downside with pit bulls is the stigma against them. You know, it's very difficult to go to a dog park if you have a pit bull, because everyone there is going to think that your pit bull is going to kill their dog. And it's like, I know, but relax, normally
they're
lady.
They're very affectionate, which is,
they are.
It's very sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of pets that don't get the care that they should. And with pit bulls as well, a lot of people look as pets. And it's like, I wouldn't even consider those people pet owners, because they don't look at their animals as pets. They look at them as a means to an end. Like with pit bulls, they start off as fighting dogs. Yeah. And there's a reason that pit bulls have that stereotype around them, is because they were bred for dog fighting.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where people kept them as pets solely to put them in the rink against each other. And now that's it's horrendous. It's awful. But it's also the history of pets. It's part of there. It has to be talked about. It can't just be ignored.
Right. And like other pets that, you know, probably maybe a lot of people won't consider as pets, like the snakes. Mm-hmm. My God. I hate
snakes. Hey, I consider snakes pets.
I hate snakes.
Yeah, you do hate snakes.
I really hate snakes. I'm just terrified of them. And spiders. Why would you want a spider?
They're cool. I would have either of those. I think they're really cool to look at.
But also, some people have like centipedes as pets.
Yeah.
I get those in my house for free. And guess what? I squish them.
I mean, that kind of brings us into the category of, and I would even consider my hermit crabs in this category of pets that are like look at pets. They're what's the word I'm looking for? Display pets. There we go. Mm. You know, you're not necessarily going to go snuggle a hermit crab, or you're not going to snuggle a snake. I mean, some people do, but you're not going to snuggle.
A lot of people handle their snakes.
Yeah, a lot of people handle
their snakes. And a lot of people handle their spiders, too. The tarantulas.
Yeah, there's certain tarantulas, though. Like, I was doing research into this because I just wanted to have some background. And there's a lot of spiders, like, you know, if you have a black widow, or there's certain types of tarantulas that if you do have them, you can't really touch them.
No.
But it's like, it's one of those things with display pets. It's a different type of pet. It's still very much an attachment. You still view them as an extension of you in some way. But, you know, there's some people like Angie that absolutely hate them. You know, don't want anything to do with them. Don't want to be near them. Whereas me, I think they're nifty. Like, I would totally have. Right. Yeah. I mean, I would totally have a spider or a snake. Like, I think they're cool just to walk in.
No.
And that also kind of borders into lizards as well. You know, certain lizards are, and like lizards and reptiles, I would say, certain lizards and reptiles are very much social and will vibe with you. Like bearded dragon. I know you took care of a bearded dragon.
My cousin has one too.
Yeah. And then Joy had one. I remember she would, you know, send me videos, Snapchats of her playing with it all the time, feeding it, whatever. It's like a very social pet.
They also have no teeth.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
So.
But then there's
plays a factor.
Yeah, I mean, there's other pets like frogs. I mean, I wanted to get a Pac-Man frog. It was either that or the hermit crabs. And Pac-Man frogs are very lonesome animals. You should never put two in a cage together. They will fight to the death. But they're also very much display pets. They're not animals that you can pick up and play with and touch and whatever. They're animals that you put in a cage, or not in a cage, in a tank. You give them what they need, you know, make it warm in there, however warm they need, give them the substrate they need, and you leave them alone. You don't touch them. You just, the only time you take them out is if you need to clean out the tank and you need to remove them physically. But other than that, they shouldn't be touched.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the only thing, like, why I've never wanted a frog or anything like a frog is they jump and you never know when they're gonna jump. And I don't like that.
You and my mom would get along. My mom is absolutely terrified of frogs.
I think they're very cute and I would hold one. But when it jumps, if I swat it, that's not my problem.
You want to hear a really funny story? Sure. I don't think I've told it on this podcast, but it's my favorite story to tell about my mom and my brother. So like I mentioned, my mom absolutely terrified of frogs. And back in Poland, we used to have, I think it was a toad that was living in our basement. It was in like one of the, one of the pipes. Yeah. And no matter how often my dad would like take it outside, you know, to remove it, whatever, it always found its way back into the basement.
That was its home.
And one day my mom was walking down and my brother was in the basement and he was just like being a little devil that he was like 10 or 11 at the time. He picked up the toad and just threw it at her. And I wish I could have witnessed it. I really do. But from what I've been told, it was a massive shriek throughout the whole house. Absolute panic. Like my mom went white and just freaked out because this toad was thrown at her.
I think I probably would have fainted if anyone did that to me.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite, envision it so clearly in my mind. That's and it's amazing. So funny. But yeah, that proves the point of, you know, not every pet is for every person. Like my mom, I mean, one of the reasons I didn't get a frog is because my mom threatened to never visit me if I have one. Well, and that's a valid point because if I had to go away for vacation or whatever, someone has to feed my frog. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, my mom was like, absolutely not, under zero circumstances am I ever visiting you if you have a frog in there. So that's also an important factor to consider, the effect that your pets have on others.
Right. And I still live with my parents. And as I said, I mean, I grew up with a dog and now we have our Pepper, the other dog. But, you know, a few weeks ago, I was like, I need guinea pigs for my mental health. And my mom was like, yes. And I grew up with a hamster. My mom hated the hamster and she hates rats, mouses, whatever.
Mice.
Meese, whatever the fuck. But like every other rodent she hates. She doesn't like rabbits either. They're not rodents, but she doesn't like them either because she's like, they bite. Guinea pigs? Oh my God, she's in love with them.
Yeah, they're very social. They're very friendly.
Yeah, they're probably the most friendly of the rodents.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, would you consider, I don't know, a hedgehog isn't a rodent, but
I don't know what they are.
They're just mammals. But they're very sweet, cute. Though. They are. They're very sweet. And I was also reading, I also wanted a hedgehog once upon a time. So I did very extensive research on them. And they're one of those animals that's also very friendly, very social. They are nocturnal, though. So the best time to hang out with them is evenings. But it's one of those things where with hedgehogs, the way to tell if they're comfortable with you is very simple because they're just going to put their spikes away.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's a very tell sign. Whereas with other animals, it's not necessarily that straightforward. I mean, a dog might wag at you. A cat might, you know, go up against you, but like, you know, a turtle isn't really going to express itself to you.
I used to have a turtle.
Okay. Correct me, please. By all means, correct me.
I grew up with a turtle and he was very afraid of me for a while. And every time
I would walk into my room.
You know what? Go fuck yourself. but every time I would walk into my room, he had this little like landing dock so he could be like out of the water and like on his lamp. So he can like dry off. But every time I would walk in, he would just dart into the water immediately. And it was like so quick. But after a few years, like we would come in and he would like just put his face up against the glass because he knew that I fed him and he wasn't afraid of me anymore. But my mother, my father, and anyone else in the room, whenever they would walk in, he would dart into the water no matter how long it was. But me, after a little bit, he was like, you're okay.
All right. So I take that back. I stand corrected. You know, every single pet has their way of expressing themselves. And, you know, some are more obvious than others. Some are less obvious. And it comes down to how you care for your pet, how much you bond with them, and how much you value them as a pet. You know, if you value them as a pet and you take care of them and they're an extension of you, like I talked about, then it's a different type of relationship than if you just treat them as a means to an end.
Yeah, I mean, both of us have had very different pets. Like, you had a cat and now have the hermit crabs. I forgot the name. then I grew up with a dog and now I have two guinea pigs, but all of them, my children.
Mm-hmm.
Would I take a bullet for any one of them? Absolutely.
Absolutely. but one thing that I like that really pissed me off, because I just thought of it as you were talking, during COVID, so many people got dogs or cats because they were working from home and they were like, I want a pet. And they got them and they had them for like the year, the 2 years, whatever. And then they were like, all right, I'm done with you. Off to the shelter you go. I can't stand that. Like, if you're going to get a pet, it's like you're not even getting a pet for a bad reason, like dog fighting or whatever. You literally were bored. You know, Pets aren't something to get if you're bored. And I'm very passionate about this. I will talk about this for days.
Well, because every pet, every animal has their feelings, whether or not like we understand it or not. Snakes have feelings.
Yes.
I hate snakes, but they still have feelings. They're mad 90% of the time. That's all I understand. But like,
snakes can eat you.
Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Not for me personally, but my guinea pigs, they're very expressive. They have their own personalities and they're very cute. My dog, feeling galore. He is like the feelings dog.
Yeah.
I think every animal has their way of feeling things. And if you have an animal in your house, in your care, you have to take that into consideration. You have to figure it out. You can't just give them up. If you're going to just give them up, don't get one.
Exactly. And with this episode, we didn't really cover all the pets and we didn't really get into the nitty and gritty. We just kind of talked about our experiences. But the key lesson to take away from anything that we said is, you know, take accountability for your pets. Yeah. They are there with you along the way. They're not something for you to play with and then toss out at the end of the day. That's not how pet parenthood works.
No, I mean, I talk to my children every day.
As you should. I look at my crabs
and I'm like, hello, stinky ladies. Good morning. Yeah. And then they squeak at me and then they run away. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I love my crabs. Because, I mean, the story for their naming is I wanted a frat boy with the sorority girls. So Chad and his bitches.
All right. But well, one of his bitches died, so.
All right, let's not, once again, what's with the let's end this off on death theme? Like, I was really good.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
2 weeks in a row now.
I'm so sorry. None of our animals will ever die. I love you to death, guys.
Uh-huh.
Not to death.
All right. And on that note, we're going to wrap it up for today. Thank you for tuning in, everyone. Thanks for listening to our thoughts on pets. Stay tuned for next week. But on that end, bye.
We'll see ya.
Outro music. We'll be right back.